listening to The Good Morning Show with Oliver O.T. Thomas.
We're back. Welcome back to The Good Morning Show. 7:37 a.m. in the morning. And if you ain't up already, somebody else is. And if they got up before you, if it's something you wanted and it was in the line you were supposed to be in, guess who got it? Don't let anybody get up before you. And that doesn't mean somebody won't get up before you. But get up. And like Professor and Reagan said earlier, whoever that man is out there, put your teeth in your mouth. All right? As you're looking at me like, man, this man, cuckoo for cocoa puff. Now, I told Dr. Tam, man, wouldn't use that term anymore. I'm not playing with mental illness anymore. It's a real thing. Especially because our president crazy, actually.
Amen.
So I have some of the most sophisticated, wonderful people in the world in my studio with us this morning, man. Corey Vidal, I've been no stranger contributor here from the President of Martin Luther Legal Society. Ken Barnes, co-chair of their annual scholarship brunch, and former president and a leading lady with the Martinets, Ashley. Heilprin? Hooked on phonics, baby.
Yeah.
Heilprin. My mom used to say, hey, boy, break those syllables down.
Yes.
Ashley Heilprin. Ashley, first of all, welcome back to the Good Morning Show, man.
Thank you.
The Jazz Brunch, Scholarship Jazz Brunch.
Yes. So it's going to be on Saturday, September 14th at the Hyatt Regency. And we are giving out 8 scholarships, totaling about $15,000 to 4 deserving law students and pre-law students from Dillard, Loyola Law School, Tulane, and Southern, I believe. We have over 57 sponsors who are sponsoring the event to help us raise money. We'll probably have about 300 attendees, and it'll be a great time.
Oh, no, it's a wonderful event. Ken Barnes, Jr. Esquire, is a special counsel in criminal justice to the Louisiana Supreme Court here. This is one of those events that especially this scholarship jazz brunch. It is a good time, good food, good fun, and good cause.
Yeah, certainly so. At this brunch, we have the opportunity to fellowship as attorneys here in New Orleans, give out scholarships to deserving young adults trying to carve out their path in life. But also, we're going to have a good time with great band, great music, and great connections.
And Mr. President, first of all, thank you for all that you guys have done. It seems like every time we turn around, you're here talking to the public about an event, sponsoring the program, helping folk, especially using your legal time, minds, and your talent. It seems like the Martinet Society, especially lately under you guys, the new leadership the last several years, you guys have really stepped up your community involvement. Not saying that others didn't do it, but there seems to be a whole another level of engagement recently.
Yeah, the scholarship brunch is a culmination of our year. Last 2 years, we've had great years. Ashley and I set out a strategic plan, really focusing on community involvement, and it's shown.
Yes.
You know, recently we were in San Francisco. The Martinet Society got an award at the American Bar Association's annual meeting, one of 3 law groups that received that award in the nation. And it was only the second time that a Louisiana group got that award. So it was a pretty big deal.
So it's pretty obvious, guys, and for our listening audience out there, these young men and women who've been leading this organization have made such a commitment, outreach and engagement, especially at the community level. You won a national award because of it.
Yes, yeah. For our Pathways and Pipelines program, that's a program that Ashley started, and her and I have been working on for the last 3 to 4 years, and it's working with young law students and making sure they have the requisite professional skills to get a job after they graduate from law school.
And Ashley, why this renewed commitment in terms of new outreach? Is it because of a lot of the times, a lot of the social issues, or is just that many of your colleagues and young attorneys are like, it's time for us to even give back and get more engaged with our community?
I think it's both. So I think part of it is just great leadership and good timing, and then part of it is honestly the times are calling for it. And so we don't have the luxury to just sit on the sidelines and, you know, wait for someone else to hold a community forum about what issues are going on. I think we have to, you know, stand on the shoulders of our founders who were civil rights leaders, who were engaged in the community and really call to action. And I think in particular with our Pathways program, it's one that I know we're all very passionate about and say, you know, it takes a village to raise a lawyer. And none of us would be here without the help and mentorship of someone else. And many of us are first-generation college students, first-generation law students, and need someone to help guide us. And I think when I think about the economic well-being of our community and the ability to secure employment post-graduation, right. I think we have a vital role to play in that.
Ken, y'all got a vital role to play, man, but y'all also have your jobs. I mean, as special counsel to the Louisiana Supreme Court, especially on criminal justice, and we know Louisiana's always busy when you talk about that area. How do you find time? Because you also have your own life and your own career.
Wow, that's a very difficult question that I'm steadily struggling with every day. I'm a married man of 6 years now.
How long you been married? I mean married. excuse me.
She's at home listening right now, so I'm going to tell her you said
that. No. Look, everybody knows the early bird is part of my show, and he gets him. When I ask him how long he's been married, I mean, when I ask him how long he's been married, I mean, I was channeling the early bird. It wasn't me. But you've been married how long? Six years. Oh, good.
And the reason why I bring that up is because while I do have obligations to my wife, mm-hmm. to my job, I always have an obligation to the community. We don't have a choice as African-Americans, mm-hmm. black people, about being able to step outside the realm of our blackness or the advocacy that we bear the burden of caring. So while I may have a lot of other things to do, you make time for what you have to do.
And President Vidal, so many of your attorneys, man, are engaged in community. I tell folk, you know, I love to see Rob McKnight when he's out there, Ashley, and others, man. It's like every time I turn up now, and I'm engaged a little bit. I'm out there a little bit, right? I see one of your attorneys, one of the members of your society, at a community event, whether it's serving our seniors, mentoring our young folk.
Well, you know, I'll say that in New Orleans, we have the best group of attorneys in the nation, especially African-American attorneys. It trickled down from our judges like Judge Reese, Judge Love, Judge Piper Griffin, who set that, you know, idea forward that we have to serve in this community. In Women's History Month, we celebrated the African-American women judges, and we have 37 women African-American judges on the bench right now in New Orleans, which is a lot for a community this size. And then they make sure that Martinette and our young attorneys are active in the community, which is a good thing.
One of my good friends, Kevin Armstrong, man, young brother, raised a lot of money for Barack out of New York in Minneapolis. Now, he came down when they honored black judges from all over the country, and he just talked about how proud he was of the young brothers and sisters in the legal field right now, how they just all of a sudden actually, you guys are just stepping up. And like I asked Ken earlier, man, y'all have some amazing careers, but finding time to do the community engagement stuff, that has to be difficult for you too.
I don't think it's difficult. I mean, I think you make time for the things that are important to you, and this is something that, you know, with our group of leaders, we all just deeply feel is important. The other thing that helps is that we have rapidly grown our membership in the last couple years. I think in the last 2 or 3 years, our membership has grown by like 140%. Wow. So as we have expanded our programming, we've also been attracting more people to get engaged, and I'm happy that there are lots of people who are willing to contribute their time so that the burden across to get something done is less.
For our listening audience out there, the Martinette Society has always been prominent when you talk about African-American lawyers, but the young men and women the last few years who've headed that organization, and this is for the folk who may not have relationships or be engaged with them, they are present. They are present and engaged in our community. No matter what the event, usually one of their members are there giving back. But let's talk about this this event, right? Yeah. I'm gonna sneak in if I got it. I'm gonna make sure I'm sitting in somebody's seat, right? Well, honoring the past, celebrating the present, and building the future.
Before we get to that, Judge Terry Love told me to make sure I invite you and Lee to come out to the jazz brunch. It's on us.
Judge Love, don't never forget us. Hey Lee, Earl Bird, what'd you say? That's why we love the love judge, right? And you can always tell a good attorney, right? Because what Corey would do, Corey had a whole list of judges to give credit to, right? So, honoring the past, celebrating the present, and building the future. Why that theme?
Well, when we look at our year this year, we did a lot to build for the future. We talked about the Pathways program, but also mm-hmm. we came up here for the mock trial camp.
Absolutely.
Well, we had 16 seventh and eighth graders at Dillard University. 65% of them were for free and reduced lunch schools, and we had sponsors that made sure that no parent paid for that camp for their child to attend, and it was a great camp. To see these kids where they started, and they were nervous and shy, and then to see them put on a full trial that last day in front of real judges.
Real judges.
It was really amazing.
Ken and Ashley, I'm Judge Sandra Cabrini Jenkins is she comes talk to my kids. Every year I pick a group or a school, and we'll do some mentoring. We'll bring influential people to come in to talk to them. And last year, Judge Jenkins came with her kids' law camp, mm-hmm. right? And it was unbelievable to see how engaged they were in the law. I'm seeing more outreach, Ashley and Ken, to young folk. Can you be too young to understand your rights or the law? And why is this effort now to start engaging young folk even at a younger age, especially when I was coming up?
So in terms of knowing your rights, I absolutely don't think that any age is too early, and particularly with the sad things that we regularly see on the news right. about the encounters that African Americans have with law enforcement and the legal system. I think it's important for us to educate our children at an early age how to have positive interactions with the justice system and law enforcement. And in particular, with our programs geared towards the pipeline, we're seeing that, I'm at a law firm now and I care deeply about legal recruiting and diversity, but there's a challenge in the pipeline. Are there enough applicants in law school for us to select from? Okay, well, are there enough kids applying to law school?
Right.
Are there enough that are doing well in high school in their, English class mm-hmm. is a great predictor of mm-hmm. how well you'll do on the LSAT. And so we are evolving in our approach and looking to reach farther back down the pipeline in order to spark interest in the profession and to equip those who are interested in being prepared from the time that you're, 14 years old and
right.
say, I think this would be a cool career, to then be able to emphasize doing well in your classes in high school, college, and then hopefully, matriculating to law school.
And Ken, especially as a young African-American male, man, how many more lives would be saved and pain and the cost of pain not have been inflicted if so many young brothers and sisters would have known their rights?
Well, as a former public defender, this is something very sensitive to me because I dealt with so many people whose lives, most important moments in their lives, began with a police interaction. And to go back to your question about is it ever an age too young to teach someone their rights, I will say that there's no age that's too young for that individual to interact in a situation like
right.
that. So there's no age that's too young to teach them how to
Good
deal
point.
With that interaction.
Great example.
Yeah.
And break it down and explain it, because if you're young enough to have the engagement, mm-hmm. then –
Great point.
It would have been helpful if you would have known your rights.
Yes, and
great point.
This is no way to place blame on any side.
Right.
But what I will share is that in an interaction that we're discussing now, we're dealing with someone that's trained and someone that's not trained. And what we're doing is trying to just provide information to the untrained individual so that they're more comfortable in it, so that the trained person knows that this person is not a threat, but also to make sure that their rights, the untrained person's rights, are not violated and they're able to have a successful representation in their day in court.
And Mr. President, Sharice Gibson going to be hosting, man. Sharice has been on the show with this man. Homegirl, she's back home now. That's going to be our mistress of ceremonies, right?
Yeah, we're excited about Sharice being there.
Wonderful young reporter.
Excellent host. Excellent host.
We're also going to be honoring some New Orleans legends. Right?
Yeah, we're honoring Wayne Lee. Wayne Lee was the first African-American state bar president.
Brilliant attorney,
opened a lot of doors. Wayne is the type of attorney that can sit in a room with brilliant attorneys and the only one to spot issue that nobody else sees that can turn the case. Wayne is just a great guy. We're also honoring Judge Love with the Lewis A. Marnett Award.
Now, which judge? We know Terry Love is they got about 10 of them.
Yeah.
All right. There's no one more engaged in Judge Love. How can you have someone even more deserving, man?
Well, I told her, I nominated her for that award, actually, and the membership voted on it. But I told her that she worked harder than most of my young lawyers, and she's, you know, a prominent judge in this
really
city.
Really does.
We have a first-time award, the Dr. Norman C. Francis Award. We're honoring Adria Kimbrough of Dillard University for the great work she's doing over there with pre-law students.
That's President Kimbrough's wife?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, a great attorney and a great pre-law director. And one person that I really want to talk about is Robert Jones. We're honoring Robert Jones with the Earl Amity Award, which is for a non-lawyer who has contributed to the legal system.
That's his young brother works for the Public Defender's Office. Yeah, he was a guest on our show.
His story is amazing. And what he's, you know, the hardship he faced and the fact that he's come back and give back to the community in a way he does is just amazing.
Always with a big smile on his face.
Always with a smile. You know, every time I talk to him, I see him, he's happy. When most people, you know, would have given up, but he kept fighting, and now he's making changes in other people's lives who were wrongly convicted.
And I'm noticed with one of our chief judges, Annette Jolivet, right, for federal judge.
Yes, Judge Brown is just like Judge Love in the fact that she was very active this year. We put on an awesome program in conjunction with the Eastern District of Louisiana Federal Court, where we had a civil rights CLE. And we had Sybil Morial there. We had Mayor Moon Landrieu. We had Dr. Norman C. Francis and Ernest Jones talk about their trials and tribulations and what they went through in the civil rights movement. It was amazing to see that much knowledge just discussed for 2 hours.
Wow, that's one. I wish I would have been there. Hopefully you guys taped it. Everyone should definitely have a chance to hear and listen to those voices and those. Now, Attorney Camille Bryant, AP 2 Award.
Yeah. Camille and I were up here earlier this year with the New Orleans Bar. Uh-huh. And Camille's involved in 3 or 4 bar associations. She's the president of the AWA, which is the Women's Law Association in New Orleans. She's the treasurer for Martinet. She's on the Young Lawyers Board for the New Orleans Bar Association. Camille's another person. You don't know how she does so much in her day.
Hey, Ashley, you got to be proud of your peers, man, your brothers and sisters with this organization, and not just about winning a lot of the national awards, but the level of commitment. I always tell people that the best people God put on this earth are the ones who put themselves second.
Mm-hmm.
And when your mind and your heart can match your soul, man, and your intellect, then, you know, your purpose is to give something back, and you guys are doing that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm incredibly proud. I think Martinet has been a blessing to me, and I've been blessed to be a part of it. And as someone who is not from New Orleans, and
where are you from?
I am originally from the Seattle area.
Okay.
And I moved here after law school. It's been amazing to just see how this legal community has been so supportive and how we support each other and pay it forward. And so I'm very proud. And when I think about, I went to law school in Virginia. And so when I think about my classmates who are in bigger cities on the East Coast and other places, and none of them have the same sort of African-American legal community that we have. None of them have the relationships, the support, the ability
There's a different flavor here.
To, you know, speak directly with the judge and say, hey, would you open up your courtroom to offer a free CLE like Judge Rachel Johnson just did for our members, or just so many different things. And so I think it's incredible, particularly as a woman, an African-American woman, to see how many people look like me that are sitting on the bench as a litigator. I think that's phenomenal. Even to see, you know, in-house, the largest corporation in Louisiana, we have African-American General Counsel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a phenomenal community here, and it's just wonderful to be a part of.
And Ken, as a young brother, you stayed home, right? I mean, from Baton Rouge, folk from Holly Grove. You could have went in anywhere you wanted as a brilliant young legal mind. But why stay here in Louisiana? Why stay home?
Well, I think you touched on it earlier. You said there's a different type of flavor here in New Orleans, but there's a different type of flavor here in Louisiana. And I will go a step further and say that there is flavor here compared to other places where they don't have as much. So now
we're going to amen you on that one, Papa.
So there's so much great about Louisiana and New Orleans, but also there are some negative things and things that we can't fix and address. And we cannot fix and address things if every time we meet those issues, we get up and try to run to mm-hmm. another place. And if everyone that's growing up in a place that's more rural or may not agree with your type of ideas leaves that place, all you're doing is strengthening the people who do not agree with you or strengthening the people who do not move for the progression of that area. So we must stay in our homes and we must fix our homes.
And Ashley, I tell folk all the time, sometimes there's places where we want to be and sometimes there's places where God needs us to be. Mm-hmm. And Lord knows we need all our talent below the Mason-Dixon line.
Amen.
And I'm going to leave it at that because it's still the South and we know the challenges are still there.
It is.
And we know the system still works
yes.
in too many places and cases like it did a long time ago.
Yeah.
Prez, man, you got to be so excited. Are you going to be upset when your term is over, man? Are you going to be like somebody else?
He's
going to
be
work?
Rested.
it's bitter and sweet. I'm tired. I'm really tired. But I enjoyed it. I met a lot of older lawyers who I did not know who came up to me and told me how important this organization is. I got to bond with a lot of young lawyers, mentor them. I had judges call me on my cell phone. I don't even know how they got my number saying, hey, Martinette needs to do this. Right. I see this from Martinette. This is how important Martinette is. So to be over an organization that this important to a community was just an exciting thing to me and an honor.
Hey, guys, and Les, we've talked about a whole lot of things from community engagement from these brilliant young attorneys to their involvement, making sure that, and Ken, you're right, if you're not too young to have that interaction, then you're definitely not too young to know your rights. And I don't think it's ever been put any better. I'm going to use that too because I think you're right. When our responsibility to our kids, if they can be engaged, then it's our responsibility to make sure they know the rules of that engagement. Mm-hmm. But Ashley, this event, man, one more time, how can people participate, where they need to be, and y'all make sure y'all hold me and Lee seats.
Yes. So today is actually the last day to get the discounted ticket price. The individual tickets are $100. You can go on our website, which is www.gnomartinet.com. There's an icon that says gala. Click on that or go to gnomartinet.com/gala-2019. Purchase your tickets online. If you have any issues finding on the website, you can email gala@gnomartinet.com, and that will come to me and Ken, and we will assist you. If you're interested in sponsoring, we have a number of different sponsorship mm-hmm. levels ranging from 500 to 5,000, and we'd love to have you as a sponsor as well. And then ticket sales will be available through the 12th, right. Although starting tomorrow, the ticket price goes up to $125. So if you're thinking about it, suggest you get yours today.
Get your tickets now. Ken, anything you want to add before we close out?
Just one more thing I'd like to add. It's when you go to that link at GNO Martinet and you click on that badge for the gala, we also will have a link there for the silent auction. We'll be auctioning off things like the Saints football that's signed by the team members. We'll have a Terrence Osborne print. We'll have a spray paint can from B. Mike. So many other things.
Great items.
So take a look at that.
Prayers. You get to close us out, man.
I just want to thank you and Lee. You had us up here for all our events, made time for us, and we always appreciate you, WBOK, for supporting Barnett, and we hope to continue to support you.
Guys, let me say this. I don't think I've ever been more inspired, Ashley, Ken, and Corey. When I tell folk all the time, when folk ask, what's wrong with our young people, it should be a question that should be before that. What's wrong with us? Because if there's something wrong with them. Well, with the young people I engage, if we're not inspired about the future, Ashley, and knowing that you guys are not only some of the best and the brightest, but y'all give a damn. So I think the future is in good hands. And for our old heads looking out there, listening out there, if you think you're important, well, guess what? We can be safe getting out the way, too, because they got some young folk who are more than capable and more than ready. Guys, let's make sure we're supporting not just only this jazz brunch, but every event that the Martinet Society gives, because they're giving back to us. When we come back, we're going to talk to Evangelist Joy Peterson, the joys of medical marijuana.
Ooh.
I'm hungry. H-O-N-G-R-Y. We'll be back after the break.
Thank you.